What's going on, everybody? You're listening to Seggy Station. It's the man that has a nickname, always allowed to say with no shame. Saturday, June 19th, 2021. Juneteenth. Celebrate freedom. A holiday that commemorates the end of slavery in the United States. Remember that. Do your research. With everything we've been through, with the fight for equality. Equality to me is important. Sports are important. A lot going on in sports. Nick Seglin here. You're listening to Seggy Station Podcast. Coming in solo to clean up a little bit of yesterday's pod. Much love to my friend Rich Hot Takes Letty. Always bringing some great advice. Fire sports takes. Always good to catch up with you, brother. Appreciate you taking the time to come through on the podcast. Appreciate all love and support shown for the podcast. Any of the views, follows, likes. Checking out any of the podcasts on any of my platforms. Twitch, Instagram. Still got some stuff up on Twitter. Spotify, Podbean. All that stuff means a lot to me. Sports mean a lot to me. A lot of great things happening in sports. U.S. Open, third round kicking off round 11 about an hour from now. Obviously, game 7 tonight, Bucks-Nets. We won't have a game 7 between the Clips and Jazz as the Clips finish off the Jazz last night. You'll have a Suns-Clips Sunday, game 1, Western Conference Finals. The Clippers advancing to their first conference finals in franchise history. Tons going on. Cleaning up from yesterday, trying to get some more catching up on the world of sports solo today. Got the day off. Got a bunch going on in the golf business over the next few weeks. Can't believe it's already almost the end of June. Rich's birthday, my birthday. To me, the golf season in the Northeast, halfway over. And then just everything else going on still with protocols, vaccinations, coronavirus, mixing that in with sports, Juneteenth and everything that means. It's a lot. I think mental health is also being stressed for a lot of athletes right now, particularly Naomi Osaki. Listen to Matt Wolf's interview, and I think that's extremely important to be recognized as well with all this stuff going on. Not everybody has the platform to be out here expressing what they're going through, the struggles they're going through, maybe the success they're having. And I see a lot of people doing a lot of great things. I just hope that what I'm doing here in my podcast is great to some people. It seems great to me. Love coming in, catching up on the world of sports, taking my mind off a lot of the other things going on. There's plenty to touch on today. Right now it's time for Straight Talk. Brought to you by Seggy Straight Talk microphone. It's always direct. Time to reflect. Got a lot of solo smoke today. Appreciate all love and support as always. Check me out on my Instagram or Twitter page at Seggy Station. Got a few posts up over the past few days that are pretty sweet. Follow along on my Twitch stream. It's _Seggy_G. Could always check out the live version of the podcast there or listen to the podcast. Spotify, Podbean, a few other platforms. Let's get into it. Let me start with this. I've been seeing a lot more of this in sports. Naomi Osaka, Matt Wolf, as I mentioned. We've been seeing it with some NBA players. I've talked about it here on the podcast. I've talked about a lot of things here on the podcast that I think are being talked about more that were not being talked about, which I find a lot of joy in. People don't ask me, or if they ask me, why do you do this? I do this because of days like yesterday when my friend Rich comes through, we get some laughs in, we talk some of the sports topics, things going on in sports. Obviously, we're both big hoop fans talking NBA playoffs, covering mostly NBA playoffs, but then just trying to put into perspective all the things going on in sports, even to this grass horse racing I'm watching live right now, trying to wait for the third round of the PGA Championship to start. Euros. I know my boy Dukes is into soccer. Didn't even mention that on the podcast yesterday. Obviously, true big MLB guy. MLB continues to be a thing. Playoff hockey. Not the biggest fan of hockey, but I think playoff hockey is legit. Obviously, Stanley Cup Finals inching closer and closer with the NBA playoffs as well. But with all that in sports, the overlooked thing to me is everything else going on for a guy maybe like CP3 who now might have to miss game 1, game 2, who knows how many games of the finals. Naomi Osaka withdrawing. Matt Wolf not really playing the best golf. Talks of things of mental and mental awareness for athletes and all people. And I think when I see some of these things being talked about that I try to bring up on my podcast that maybe not a lot of people talk about, maybe I'm doing it different, maybe I'm not, it means a lot to me. And I've been struggling with the fact, even trying to come in and do this solo, because it's a confidence thing. It's a, oh, why are you doing this? I didn't do this for me. Like, I enjoy talking about all these things that I see in sports. And, like, randomly, if I'm not doing a podcast with not really much else going on, I'm thinking about things I want to talk about on my podcast. And to think that it's come this far where I have help from friends giving me a logo, where I have friends that have come on and talk sports with me that I never thought would, to think that people are either following, liking, or checking out my podcast. And that's a lot for somebody who is struggling. Like, let's just be real. I've admitted a lot of different things here on my podcast for people that have followed along. And for me, just with Juneteenth, equality, Father's Day tomorrow. Happy Father's Day to my dad, who hopefully I get to see, who's basically all I have left. Just missing a lot of people. Getting tatted up and doing things my way differently. It's just been hard for me. Not really having many people around, missing a lot of people. And just trying to find a way to keep fighting through. And I see all these stories in sports that really help me continue to go on, like Richard Bland in the U.S. Open and his interview and his stuff that he's talking about and what sports do and what sports are. And I literally just said that yesterday on my pod. I can go back and listen to some of the pods of my boys or older pods, because I've been doing this for a while now, and it's wild to me with how much time just zips on by. And it's pretty sweet. Like, at the end of the day, I think that's cool. And some people like to go to the gym, shout out Dukes, Chew. Some people like to read books, to cook, shout out Faith. You should check out the Fooding with Faith page on Instagram. I see a lot of people that I know, or maybe don't even know, doing a lot of great things. And I think people supporting that, supporting more people, showing love, at a time like this where a lot of people are just down, particularly coming off of this COVID and still having to deal with a lot of these differences and protocols, vaccinations, mass shaming, everything that you got to deal with in today's world. Sports are providing a lot of different things to a lot of different people, and they certainly provided a lot of different things to me. And seeing all the things happening in sports, having some takes on it and either being right and wrong is really something I enjoy. Definitely got to touch on the Clippers, who advanced to their first ever Western Conference Finals last night. Shout out Paul George. Shout out Terrence Mann, who had 39 points, 7 threes. Just absolutely incredible. Looking like Kawhi Leonard out there, who obviously didn't play in this game or Game 5. Donovan Mitchell, 37 points. Not enough. I saw Mike Conley played in this game. Shout out Rich yesterday, who talked about Mike Conley and how he would not just be effective, but just not be anything compared to what James Harden is able to basically do. Mike Conley, 1-8, 5 points. Obviously, injuries have played a huge factor in these NBA playoffs. That's one that obviously affected the Jazz. Donnie Mitchell, not 100% healthy as well, from plenty of reports. But you got to give the Clippers a lot of credit here. I saw that the 50-year drought ended by the Cleveland Cavaliers was done by Tyronn Lue, and now this 50-year drought, not making the Western Conference Finals ever, the LA Clippers doing so for the first time last night, taking care of the Jazz 131-119. It was impressive to say the least, because a lot of people didn't think this was going to go down the way this went down, obviously, with what the Jazz were this year and obviously without Kawhi Leonard. I think that's the most interesting thing about sport. You can be right. Last year was talking about the Clippers maybe getting up in there, having a chance, and obviously they let down a lot of people, including myself, and it was tough to trust in them this year. Seeing them take out the Jazz, obviously now advancing to face the Suns, I think that's going to be an incredible series based on CP3, Kawhi Leonard, a lot of question marks surrounding how many games these guys are going to be able to play, and or Kawhi Leonard going to be able to play at all. Can the Clippers do it without Kawhi Leonard? I don't know if CP3 is there. How long is CP3 going to be out? No idea, considering the games start tomorrow for that series. Obviously, he's currently in health and safety protocols, and we're still waiting to hear what's going to happen with CP3. I think the Clippers are going to be able to beat the Suns if CP3 is not there. So how long is he not going to be there? What's that going to do for the series? Clippers are the first team in NBA history to come back and win series after trailing 0-2 in multiple series in a single playoffs. Shout out Paul George. Shout out Tyronn Lue. Hopefully Kawhi Leonard gets out there. Seeing the Clippers actually perform to what we thought they would is something that's great to see. I think that's all this slander on Paul George, the Clippers, obviously them being counted out because of Kawhi Leonard not being there. A lot of these guys stepping up. Rich talked about Reggie Jackson yesterday. I think that's the cool thing about coming in and talking sports too and then watching these games. A lot of this stuff plays out either right or wrong the way you say it. I had the Jazz in this series, so I was certainly wrong. But good to see the Clippers making history. And we'll see how that series goes. Starting up tomorrow, Game 1, Suns Clips Western Conference Finals. Going to have a Game 7 tonight. Also going to have a Game 7, I believe it's tomorrow, with the 76ers and Hawks. After the Hawks lose Game 6 last night, I believe it was 104-98. It was a close game. Hawks were leading most of the game. Joel Embiid at the end of the game was pretty wild. I don't know how he didn't get ejected for that, but be that as it may, Jokic got ejected for what he did, and Joel Embiid didn't get ejected for what he did last night. Classic NBA controversy when it comes to some of these calls. I saw a very interesting thing with them reviewing jump shots type of offensive foul calls, particularly Trae Young, James Harden. And Trae Young was absolutely balling last night, not able to get it done, obviously. But they have a chance to do so in Philly. Philly has a chance to write, obviously. Doc Rivers trying to not become a coach that is absolutely left for dead. I saw, what is it, he's trying to become the 11th series loss after his team led in a series, which is two more than any other coach in NBA history. Yep, 104-99 was the final last night in that game. I thought the Hawks were going to win it. Hawks are 0-9 in closeout games, which is the worst, obviously, in NBA history. It'll be interesting to see how this game plays out. Obviously, a lot of people has the Hawks counted out. I had the Hawks winning, getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, going back 3 months ago on a hot, bold take here on the podcast. So I'm still rooting for that. Sixers played a little better. Not Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons, definitely tough to see what is going on with Ben Simmons. We talked about yesterday on the podcast. Tobias Harris as well needs to step up. Basically, it's been Seth Curry, which is crazy. I think he had another 26 last night, 6-9 from three. His brother giving him a shout-out. So that should be a great game, obviously. Hawks, Sixers, tomorrow night, everything on the line, Game 7. Looking forward to seeing if the Hawks can pull it out. If the Sixers do pull this out, it will be very impressive, obviously, with the embarrassment of blowing, I think, 18-plus point leads in games 4 and 5. Hawks are legit, but the Sixers have definitely found a way to question the process and question what's going to happen if they lose this series all around. I think that's going to be tough for Sixers fans if they do wind up losing this series, and I'm going to have to stick with my original prediction in that regard. I think the Hawks can steal this game in Philly, even when Joel Embiid's still playing. Tonight we'll have a Game 7, Bucks-Nets. This is going to be pretty incredible stuff, if you ask me, considering I saw the Bucks were 1-point favorites, the Nets were 1-point favorites, and then it's back to an even draw. Now the Nets are 1-point favorites. This is going to be a tough game to pick. Do you have any confidence in the Bucks being able to take care of a wounded Nets team and obviously take care of Kevin Durant, hopefully hold him under 40 points? Kevin Durant obviously is going to have one of these game five historic performances we saw to win up against a Bucks squad that is clearly just a little bit more talented with a wounded James Harden. James Harden, whatever he can give, we all know what we've been talking about a little yesterday in the pod with Rich, what he's been given in game five and six. I think it's funny he tells me on the Skip Bayless, all this shit. I'm like, bro, dude, I'm just telling you what I see and what I think. And I know you think I'm a big James Harden hater, and I really don't want to see James Harden win, particularly like this, where he can't even play. Like, at least if he was playing and fucked up, like, it'd be something cool to talk about. I mean, him playing like this and fucking up, like, it's kind of hard to say anything about it, because then you're just going to be like, oh, well, he's not even healthy. And it's like, all right, dude, then why is he even playing? Like, he's not even 50%. Never mind 20%. Like, I don't know. It's going to be tough, I think, for the Nets to win this game. I wouldn't be surprised if they did with what has been shown by the Bucks in, obviously, previous years. But there's a lot riding on this game if you're a Bucks, not only player, coach, but fan. It's going to be extremely frustrating if you can't beat a Nets team that, obviously, a lot of teams were expected to be able to say they can't beat with all these three guys, and you basically got one and a half, if not one, there. And what does that mean for going forward if these guys stay together for another season, if you're in the Eastern Conference and trying to call yourself contenders? I had the Nets losing in the second round. I don't like seeing it like this. But I do think the Bucks can win this game, even in Brooklyn. Kevin Durant, I wouldn't be surprised having a great night. But to me, it's going to have to be some of these other guys. We talked about Jeff Green's performance in Game 5. Wasn't great in Game 6. Talked about Joe Harris. He hasn't been shooting the ball at all. It's going to be some of these other guys that are going to have to step up. And I just don't know if those guys are going to be able to do that. A lot of people talk about the experience of Kevin Durant. We know he has that. But a lot of these other guys don't on the Brooklyn Nets. James Harden, where he's at, what he's done in the playoffs, and just particularly where he's at right now, I don't see how that's beneficial, even them having him out there. And to me, I think that's why they lose this game. The Nets end up losing because, let's just be real, a lot of these other teams have dealt with injuries, and they're dealing with a flurry of them right now. I think the Bucks can take care of them because of that. We'll see. Game 7 tonight. I'm not sure if I'll be able to see it at all with Rich, but that'd be pretty dope. NBA has been fire. Obviously, we're getting close to Western Conference, Eastern Conference Finals. Two Game 7s on the Eastern Conference side. Western Conference Finals are set. Just four teams left. Four teams left in the NHL playoffs. Saw the Canadiens. I think it was Jim Anderson. What's his name? Josh Anderson. Overtime goal last night for the Canadiens, who are now 4-0 in overtime games this postseason, which is the best all-time in NHL history. I saw Marc-Andre Fleury with an absolute debacle with a 2-1 lead with about a minute 50 left to go in the game. It was a 3-2 win for the Canadiens, who are now up 2-1 in the series. Islanders, Lightning, game 4 tonight. Lightning, I believe, have a 2-1 series lead in that, getting an inch and closer to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Saw a dude get absolutely hit, high-sticked in the face, bleeding all over the face last night. No foul, no penalty. See a dude get elbowed the wrong way, penalty. I think that's the interesting thing about playoff hockey and these calls and just hockey in general. It's like, wait, what is going on? Like, what is allowed and not allowed? And then all this stuff that's going on at such a fast pace. It's great. I mean, it's good stuff. I think hockey's dope. Shout out to Shane's boyfriend, Rich, who's come on the pod. Big Islanders guy. It's good to see them doing well for him. Be interesting to see if they can tie up that series tonight. enjoy watching just as much as the highlights of that with everything else in sports as well. I find myself watching some of these NBA games, obviously, but plenty of other things going on. You can flip the channels back and forth during commercials, halftimes. That's what I've been doing. It's been pretty dope to check in on all this stuff, particularly not only in the NHL with those games winding down, but obviously the NBA, as I mentioned, U.S. Open, third round starting up and now less than a half hour away, MLB and all the stuff that it brings, and every other story that you can find in sports, good or bad. A lot of great stuff in that regard. Shout out to the hockey heads. Try and get and link up with some of those fellows soon. I think Barry's a hockey guy as well. Got to see what he's thinking of the Jets. Told him I'd get him back on the pod. I got a bunch of reads to get through today, so I'm going to try and do that to catch everybody up on some of that news in the world of sports. Sports Center update. Shout out my dog, who I love very much, who was sick this week, and I got sick this week and then threw up in my sink. Shout out to my dad, who had to come up and unclog my sink. Happy Father's Day to him. Happy Father's Day to all the dads and granddads out there. Should be a great weekend, obviously, with sports and the weather, and obviously celebrating equality, freedom, and all those great dads out there. So shout out to all them. Take my quick break. Be right back here on the Seggy Station. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back. Seggy Station is brought to you by Callie's Love. A man's best friend is his dog. Shout out to Rescue Mutt to many, but a life-saving companion to me. To me, nothing promotes true home happiness in a household, but a loving companion of a pet. Especially at a time like this, get yourself a loyal pet friend like mine at your local animal shelter, pound, or nursery. Save their life and they just might save yours. Now it's time for your Sports Center update. Chet Holmgren has been named the Gatorade National Boys Basketball Player of the Year. He will be taking his talents to Gonzaga this fall. Top head coach and candidates for the Trailblazers consist of Chauncey Billups, Becky Hammon, and University of South Carolina USA women's coach Dawn Staley, Mike D'Antoni, and Spurs executive Brent Barry. Hopefully, Lillard's cool with that. Premier Golf League CEO Andy Gardner wants to meet with Jay Monahan, who I met, by the way, and says, "We'd love to be friends." PGA Tour commissioner has yet to respond. Peyton Manning, Pro Football Hall of Fame, elected 35th member of the Broncos Ring of Fame. He will be inducted to the Pro Football Hall of Fame Sunday, August 8th. The ceremony for the Ring of Fame will be held for their game up against the Washington Football Team on October 31st. Shout out to Chew. Shout out to Rich, who said this yesterday. Damian Lillard and Draymond Green have committed to play for Team USA at the upcoming Tokyo Olympics. Saw Devin Booker, Jason Tatum, and Bradley Beal have also confirmed as well. Bears coach Matt Nagy says there is no scenario where Justin Fields plays opening night. Andy Dalton is the starter, QB1. He was traded up for the number 11 overall pick with the Giants, Justin Fields. I think there is a scenario. What happens if your boy Dalton gets hurt? Patriots head coach Bill Belichick today on Cam Newton. This past week on Cam Newton, because it wasn't today. Quote, "Cam's way ahead of where he was last year and this time. There's no question about that." Be interesting to see what goes on with the Patriots this season after a lot of offseason moves. Glasnow blames the MLB crackdown for his UCL injury. MLB crackdown on foreign substances is expected to begin Monday. 10-game suspension for any player who does so with pay. Don't understand why he would be suspended with pay. Derek Carr, Raiders quarterback, says, quote, "He would probably quit if the Raiders traded him." An aggressive Tua Tagovailoa was picked off 5 times at minicamp, and a lot of people have something to say about that. John Rahm on his COVID situation on Memorial.
He says, quote, I wish I got vaccinated sooner. Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau weren't paired by the USGA. I saw they're both even par, but aren't playing together the third round. I did see Bryson DeChambeau video bomb Brooks Koepka's interview over the week, over his, after his round on Thursday, I think it was. As I mentioned, there will be a ban to any player in the MLB for foreign substances for pitchers 10 days with pay that are used and caught. NBA to examine non-natural shot motions during foul calls. Luka's future in Dallas in question, but I doubt it. With now Rick Carlisle gone, new GM, Dirk Nowitzki in there, front office. I think Luka will be just fine. Running back Le'Veon Bell says he, after apologizing about Andy Reid says he hopes things go well for him in the future. I saw Garrett Higo, who missed the cut this week at the U.S. Open, won the Palmetto Championship, just his second start on the PGA Tour. 22-year-old, has won, youngest player to win on tour this season. Saw the Denmark dark that a Denmark doctor on this dude Eriksson, who was basically quote gone, Christian Eriksson, was resuscitated after suffering cardiac arrest when he collapsed in the first half during the Euro 2020 match versus Finland. Absolutely wild story there in sports. Good to see that he's apparently okay and out of the hospital. Rory McIlroy says Green Book should be outlawed. I thought that was interesting. And that's a lot of my notes here, besides Russell Wilson saying he didn't request a trade. Says it's unfortunate what happened this offseason, but has been quoted for liking a lot of the moves made by the Seahawks this season. Sean McVay also says, quote, happiness with Stafford is no slight on golf. And I saw now golf with the Lions, Dan Campbell in a race helmet during his interviews, breaking knees, biting kneecaps. This might be slightly ugly for Lions fans. This dude Campbell, I don't know what's good with this dude. Tune back in. Nick Seglin here. Tried to get to some of those SportsCenter updates. Wanted to touch on a little bit of the MLB after having to listen to Chew last night in the PS5 group chat. Drunk Chew talking about DeGrom. That's always tough. I know Rich can vouch for me on that. I did see Shohei Ohtani is going to compete in this year's Home Run Derby, which is going to be back. I'm down to watch that. Home Run Derby is straight. I need to confirm that he's the first Japanese player to compete in the Home Run Derby, and I think he's going to win the Home Run Derby. What he's doing this year is pretty special, and I know Jacob DeGrom and what he's doing is incredible. I know Chu will give you all the stats and have a few beers and get you to want to go out back and take a hammer to your head. But Jacob DeGrom is pretty incredible. Hopefully he's not using any of these foreign substances. This 10-game suspension on foreign substances starting on Monday will be interesting to see how that goes. This dude Glasnow talking about how his injury is because he's not allowed to use any of these substances. Gerrit Cole basically crying himself a river. A lot of these pitchers getting upset about these new crackdowns with obviously no crackdowns from the MLB on the cheating with the Houston Astros, on a lot of the cheating with steroids, and let's just be real. Chewy, baseball has been one of these sports where it's like, it's always been cheating. Like, it's so tough to defend at this point, man, because I saw a thing where the Mets and your Mets in the 2015 playoffs were potentially cheated on versus the Kansas City Royals. And you said it to me in the group chat. I asked you here on the podcast. I can't wait for you to come back to see your reaction to this, because to me, the MLB is a bunch of cheaters, and that's not what baseball is about. Maybe that's why I don't like the baseball and MLB, because I'll watch college baseball and college World Series, women's World Series, Little League Baseball. Hopefully they get that up back and going, because I think that's the greatest baseball you can watch, where you got no guys using spider tack. You got guys that are not bitching about being able to put sunscreen on their hands. And hey, whether it's a safety issue and not throwing the ball at people or not, there's plenty of guys that are out here apparently not using anything. So I don't like that as an excuse. And if you're going to say that this has been going on, if you're Gerrit Cole or any of these pitchers for, you know, decades in the MLB, you're probably right. And all these other things that have been going on with cheating in the MLB that have now come to the limelight, because in 2020 and 2021, video and all these social media and everything that you can get in on is so much different than 10, 15 years ago when maybe some of this shit was going on and no one even cared or knew about it. But to me, it's the only sport where this stuff can consistently go on. I mean, we've seen cheating in other areas, Spygate, Bountygate, in the NFL. I don't know what type of cheating you could see in basketball. I don't know how you could possibly cheat in golf, because it's just not a thing, particularly on the PGA Tour. Is cheating even a thing in any of these other sports that I could be talking about? Like, can you? I guess we saw it in horse racing, right? When you give those, that, because I'm watching that right now, you give the horse a little juice or something. You know, you can take some air out of the football if you're Tom Brady. That's considered cheating, I guess. I don't know. It's because a lot of people say, well, you know, a lot of people like different ball pressures, and that's not cheating. Well, if it's outside the ring, I don't know. It's however you want to look at it, man. But to me, it's most prevalent in the MLB, and it's just not good when you're talking about a professional sport. I'd rather watch Little League baseball than your professional baseball. That's not good. Didn't need to touch on Aaron Rodgers' comments. Saw he had another interview. Talked about him plenty of times here on the podcast. Talked about his quiet off season and just basically chilling, being able to do what he wants to do. And I respect that. That's cool, man. You know, I think people trying to do that, there's no problem with that. I think for me, the biggest thing is Matt LaFleur coming out and saying, hey, we got one plan regardless who's at QB. This whole back and forth between Rodgers, Mark Murphy, GM of the Packers, and Matt LaFleur, and everybody on the Packers side, and obviously then Aaron Rodgers, and then a divided fan base, and obviously a lot of controversy whether he's going to show up or not. I don't think he's going to show up, because at this point, he probably would have at least made an appearance. I don't even know. It doesn't even seem like he knows where Green Bay is anymore. Are they going to trade him if he doesn't show up? I guess that's going to have to be seen. They're playing this long game where, oh, well, he can show up basically a week before the season and we'll still let him start. I mean, it's Aaron Rodgers. Is that going to be ideal? I don't know. Do I see that happening? No. So the sooner he can get there, or the sooner they decide that he's not going to be there, I think the better. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to be a Green Bay Packer this season. I think Aaron Rodgers has made it quite clear, not only in his interviews, but by his actions, that he don't want to be there anymore. And I think you got to respect that too. As much as I think the way he's handling this is really wrong and he's kind of making himself look like an absolute douche. Hey man, if you don't want to be there, then I guess you might have to sit out. And I've been saying this from the beginning, because I wouldn't trade him now. And if he's going to play the hardball game, then fine. And let him sit out. And it'll definitely shake up not only the NFL landscape at quarterback with no Aaron Rodgers, but obviously that division with what Jordan Love could potentially be or not be starting week one for the Green Bay Packers. A lot of question marks surrounding that. A lot of question marks surrounding a lot of these rookie quarterbacks. Like, the NFL season comes up and it's so quick and it goes by, but the NFL has talked about all year round because of these storylines, because of all these moves that either are made, could be made, or might be made. And this is just something that a lot of people are just going to literally be shocked with when he either gets traded or he's just not there and Jordan Love is a starting QB week one and Aaron Rodgers is somewhere chilling with his new girlfriend or wife or whatever you want to call her. Good for him. That's great. But if I'm the Packers, I don't trade this man at all. Like, he's under contract. This is not a good time to trade him. We'll figure it out. What else do we got here? I do want to touch on some of the golf. Did touch on the NBA, so I don't need to do that. Touched on the injuries in the NBA yesterday with Rich. LeBron James, they didn't want to listen to me. I knew exactly what would happen. Let me clean up a little of the stuff from yesterday that I need to before I touch on the golf. That was one of the quotes I needed to clean up as well. LeBron James mentioned the all-defensive team didn't have the post up, but did want to get through that first-team all-defense. In the NBA, Rudy Gobert, Ben Simmons, Draymond Green, Drew Holiday, Giannis. Second team, Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler, Joel Embiid, Matisse Thybulle, Kawhi Leonard. Talked about all NBA first team announcements with Rich yesterday. And we talked about some of the rookies. All rookie first team, unanimous vote for LaMelo Ball and Anthony Edwards to round out the first team. Sadiq Bey, Tyrese Haliburton, and Jae'Sean Tate. All mentioned by Rich. Shout out, Rich. Desmond Bane, Isaac Okoro, Emmanuel Quickley, Isaiah Stewart, and Patrick Williams all round out the second team all-rookie 2020-21 NBA team. Mentioned Shohei Ohtani competing in this year's Home Run Derby. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to catching up with Chu. Talked about the trade, Kemba Walker, Boston Celtics yesterday. Saw an interesting quote from Mark Spears, who says, if I'm the Lakers, why not go after Kemba? Kuzma already looks like he's on his way out. Talking about this last night with Rich in the game chat. I would love, and I love Kemba Walker, but I'd love to see Kuzma on the Thunder, to be honest. And I think that'd be a good move for the Lakers to get Kemba. I think Kemba might get traded, like Rich said. Rich is pretty fire with the sports takes. The Thunder do have 35 picks till the year 2027, and that's including potentially three first round upcoming picks in this upcoming NBA draft. Shouted out the Clippers and Paul George, obviously. Terrence Mann and the Suns, so that series is going to take place tomorrow. Game one, you got game seven tonight and game seven tomorrow. Mention Christian Eriksen. Denmark players criticized the Euro officials who made them play soon after Christian Eriksen's collapse. That was an absolutely wild thing going on in the Euros. Thank God that dude is okay. That was scary as hell. I thought he literally died on the field. Talked about the story of Nick Batum, who had a great series versus the Jazz, of his father dying on the foul line of a NBA, it was not an NBA game, it was a wherever he comes from. It was a wild story. I read the article. That's another one to check out. And I've been saying this plenty of times, where you don't got to be an athlete, you don't got to be famous. You could be homeless. Shit could happen at any time. Bad, good and bad. Particularly the bad is usually not good. And you just got to try and enjoy as much of it as you can. Because you never know when your time is going to come or when something serious is going to happen that's going to literally be life-changing, life-altering, with some type of medical issue. I've seen it. And it's so sad. You know, it's good to see some of the recoveries. Hopefully this guy's able to recover. Who knows if he's ever played soccer again. I think of Tiger Woods. I think of guys trying to recover from injury that a lot of people just take for granted. Oh, well, he has a torn ACL. We'll see him again next year. Joey Burrow on track to start week one. Got to give a lot of credit to these athletes that come back off these injuries that are ghosted for seasons 9 months at a time and come back and either look a little better than they did, better than ever, the same, even just getting back out there after something like Alex Smith, comeback player of the year in the NFL. It's just incredible stuff that I think is just always taken for granted. And it's not easy dealing with injuries and getting that confidence back, particularly when you're a professional athlete. Shouted out Garrick Higo, who won on the PGA Tour last week. He missed the cut this week at the U.S. Open. Update on the U.S. Open leaderboard, which hopefully 10 minutes from now is finally going to come on TV. Russell Henley and Richard Bland, 5-under, both co-leading after 36 holes. Matt Wolf, 4-under, tied at third with Louis Oosthuizen, 4-under, and John Rahm rounding out the top five at 3-under. 435 will be the leaders teeing off, 424 and 413, with them playing out in California, West Coast, 134-35 time in San Diego, where they are playing. Torrey Pines. Some notable missed cuts. Saw Will Zalatoris, Will the Thrill, who I'm a big fan of. I saw Abraham Answer with a cut. Saw Victor Hovland withdraw, and I'll talk about that in a second. Ryan Palmer cut. Saw Max Homa cut, who I took in one of my brackets. Billy Horschel with a cut. Tony Finau cut. Ryan Palmer cut. Zach Johnson with a cut, who I took in one of my pools, aka pool at work, which I do terrible in. I support my pro, and it's kind of shitty to be not doing well in any of these. I think I'm doing a little better this week, but basically been a donation. But you can't win if you don't play, and that's kind of the mentality I've had with any of the gambling issues that I feel like I have. Shout out to Zach Zaback, who just missed the cut. Local, not even professional, I think amateur player. Yeah, TPC River Highlands member. I used to know him. He's been on the circuit playing golf here for a while. UConn, college UConn player. Just missed the cut. Plus five, I think he was. Plus four was the cut. I did see Phil make it. I did have Phil missing the cut, but he did make the cut. I saw, as I mentioned in the read, Brooks Koepka even, Bryson DeChambeau even, tied currently 13th. Saw Xander Schauffele 2-under, Bubba Watson 3-under. A lot of great names up there for the weekend. Pretty much anything can happen with 5-under being the lead and pretty much no clear runaway. Saw Dustin Johnson making the cut, not playing well. See if he'll do anything. Saw Victor Hovland had to withdraw, and I need to read this because this is, statement is worth reading. First time for everything. Hit a bunker shot in my warm-up today and caught some sand in my left eye. Typically, when faced with such an unfortunate circumstance, the remedial action is to blink a few times for the sand to clear. However, the unique San Diego sand decided to linger, much like the stubborn belly fat we all possess even after countless hours of cardio. After coming to terms with reality, my tee time was quickly approaching. With a greatly diminished eyesight in the oculus sinister left eye, the plan of attack was to try not to implode on the first hole or first few holes in order to have a chance to make the cut when the eyesight had been regained. After miraculously remaining unscathed for the first four holes, I sensed some improvement. I had just enough hope to keep it going. A few more bogeys inevitably ensued, and on the 18th hole, my 9th hole, the slowly improved vision took a turn for the worst. We were back to where we started. The inkling of hope that we once present had sought refuge elsewhere. To withdraw or not to withdraw, that was the question. All jokes aside, hate to withdraw, but we'll be back soon. Thanks for the messages. This dude, Victor Hovland, is pretty wild. I'm a golf professional. I've gotten plenty of sand in my eye from hitting bunker shots. you know, withdrawing from a major tournament because of that, that's kind of weak, dude. I think the statement's kind of funny. Everyone's saying get well soon. I mean, I don't know if you got like a rock in your eye or something. I mean, that might have been more like it. But to give up a chance at a major because of that, and I'm a Victor Hovland fan. I want to see this guy win. I almost picked him in my pool and would have been mad if I did. That's kind of a tough one for me. But hopefully he gets well soon and Victor Hovland gets back out on the tour. Should be some good tour golf today for sure. Looking forward to checking all that out. I saw that Bryson DeChambeau is looking to become the eighth player to win consecutive U.S. Opens. His arch nemesis, Brooks Koepka, is the only player to do so in the past 30 years. Brooks Koepka did so in 2017-18, Curtis Strange in 88-89, Ben Hogan in 50-51, Ralph Goodall 1973-38, Bobby Jones 29-30, John McDermott in 1911-1912, and Willie Anderson in 03-05. Can DeChambeau do so this weekend? I literally hate DeChambeau. The video bombing, I figured something out about my swing in the middle of the night last night. Like, all right, dude, you're a freaking psycho. Like, no one, you're either a fan of this dude or you're not. And I think he's making a lot of people that were on the fence more not fan of this man, regardless of how far he can hit the ball and what it looks like when he swings. To me, that's kind of ruining the game. Like, all these up-and-coming juniors wanting to swing out of their shoes to be like Bryson DeChambeau. Like, dude, that's not how you learn how to golf. And to me, that's this, oh, I'm bigger than the game, integrity of the game. I'm going to joke about the game, and this feud between Koepka and me is more important than the game. Like, nah, dude, like, let the dude do an interview. You don't have to be a dumbass jumping around in the background to cause a scene because you know that it's Brooks Koepka up there. Like, dude, like, it's getting to a point where I'm sure Brooks is just like, dude, this dude's a fucking, like, child. Like, what are you doing? I don't know. A lot of guys on tour don't like him. I personally don't like him. He's a great golfer, and that's cool, but you don't need to act like a fucking douche in what's really an integrity sport. And it just, to me, is a bad look for sport, the sport of golf, when he's acting like this. Like, to me, that's not growing the game and good for the game, whether you're going to say the feud is or not. Like, the way you're acting is not good for the game. Clean it up, bro. We'll see what you do this weekend. I saw another interesting, as I'm always wearing a jerseys on the pod, no jerseys today, but what athlete would you wish you could wear a jersey for that obviously you can't, just to name a few. Simone Biles, Serena Williams, Naomi Osaka, Lindsey Vonn, Amanda Nunes, Tony Hawk, Tiger Woods, Usain Bolt. That's, you know, you can think of any golfer. I think that's a pretty cool question. I'll have to save that for the boys. Saw Brady and Mahomes are going to be on the cover of Madden. Co-cover stars on the cover of Madden. That's pretty dope. But I think the most interesting thing going on in the NFL right now is Cole Beasley's comments, his release statement on Twitter on Friday in response to the sharp backlash he has received on social media, disclosing that he is not vaccinated and pledging to live my one life like I want to regardless. Quote, I will be outside doing what I do, he wrote. I'll be out in public. If you're sick, scared of me, then stay clear. Get vaccinated. I may die of COVID, but I'd rather die actually living. Quote, I'm not going to take meds for my leg that isn't broken. I'd rather take my chances with COVID and build up my immunity that way. I'll play for free this year to live life how I've lived. If from day one, if I'm forced into retirement, so be it. You know, he was on the record the other day for basically saying that he's unhappy with the NFL and the NFLPA's newly agreed to COVID-19 protocols for training camp and preseason. He aired his concerns Thursday on Twitter. The latest COVID-19 policy heavily restricts unvaccinated players while allowing vaccinated players to return to near normalcy. Beasley, 32, placed equal blame on the NFL for prioritizing money over its players' freedom and the NFLPA for not supporting the players it represents, saying, quote, "This is crazy. Do we vote for this?" He wrote in response to the list of protocols, "I stay in a hotel. We still have meetings. We're all being together. Vaccinated players can go out of the hotel and bring COVID back into it where I am. So what does it matter if I stay in the hotel now? 100% immune with the vaccination? No. The Players Association is a joke. Call it something different. It's not for the players," he added. "Everyone gives me the 98% of people who are vaccinated don't get COVID ever again. The odds of me getting it in the NFL and playing for 10 years are lower than that, and I'm here." He's talking about playing in the NFL for 10 years related to the chances of getting COVID. You know, this is a story that I knew was going to kind of come up. Golf's about to tip off, so I'm going to finish up the pod here shortly. But I think this is extremely interesting because now all of a sudden we have to defend ourselves if we don't have a vaccination. Now all of a sudden we have to come out here and publicly say, hey, we're vaccinated, we're not. When I said this to my guy yesterday, Rich, and I need to read this straight off the press here, which is MetLife Stadium and Giants games are cleared to have full capacity, no face masks without proof of vaccinations. This is per New Jersey policies on business and gatherings in the state. So, everyone giving me shit, Giants fan can't go to Giants games without a vaccination. Apparently that's not true. As if I told those people when they told me that. You know, I don't really feel the same way as Cole Beasley, but I respect where Cole Beasley's coming from because I don't think I'm going to build up my own immunity to coronavirus or COVID, but I feel like I've done so with a lot of other illnesses by the way I act. And really, I don't take medicine. I talked about this with Rich. I don't know if vaccinations are considered a medicine. I don't really know enough about any of that. Maybe I'd have to do more research, and Rich told me to do so. So I'd say this. My research is a lot of people that don't get vaccinations, regardless of this one or other ones, regardless of how they feel about medications, can build up different immunity to different sicknesses and situations. Like, I don't take, when I have like pain, like, oh, like my, whatever, something's bothering me, people be like, oh, I'll take an Advil. Like, nah, dude, I don't do that. And I know it kind of sounds stupid, but like, I think this is kind of what Cole Beasley's talking about here, man. Like, because I don't want to take medicine or vaccinations, like, I'm a bad person and you have to look at me like I'm some type of different person. Like, all right, man. Like, if that really is how it's mandatory and has to be a type of thing, then he's made enough money and lives the type of, and has the type of career where he can retire. But not all of us can. So now we have to deal with this ridicule and this, oh, well, what do you like? Why aren't you getting it? Or what are you doing? Like, all right, man. Like, is it really bothering you that much? Like, if I go get it, does it make you feel that much better? It's this whole thing for me that's like super tough. And I think about my neighbor. I miss a lot of people, but one in particular I miss the most is my neighbor, because we talked about this at great length when this first started happening, and then furlough, and it's wild to think of all the stuff we went through, because even a guy like me who works at a, you know, an outside job, right? Not even inside. I got furloughed during the original shutdown of COVID and all this shit, and I couldn't work. And everybody went through their own struggles with the whole thing, but to see where we're at now and to see where we were and to try and predict where we were going to go with him, and now him not being here and seeing where we're at, it's one of those things where I miss a lot of people. I miss my mom the most. It's one of the most tragic things that have ever happened to me. And I still tend to feel like I can't even fathom getting over that. You know, with Father's Day being tomorrow, I wish I was closer with my dad, but hopefully I get to see him. It's important to me having something when you feel like you have nothing, and a lot of people are now not around. It's shitty. I used to appreciate the fact that even if my neighbor didn't want to listen or check out my pod, he knew that I enjoyed doing it. It made me happy. And anybody that can see something like that in somebody else, I think that is a great person. I do have some other people that I feel like maybe that has now happened to, but it doesn't make me feel any better when you feel like you're so close yet so far. Like, that's, I think, one of the worst feelings in the world. And I think of the best example in sports with that is Coastal Carolina and the college football playoff. Like, this whole 12-team college football playoff, which I've been begging for and paying the players and all this stuff in college sports that has kind of just been in the background, on the back burner, and is going to kind of come up to the front burner when all this stuff starts coming out in the next couple months before the college football season this fall. And, you know, I don't think it's a wild take, and I'm a Coastal Carolina University alum, that we may never have a chance at that college football playoff ever again after being slated, if it were to be a thing this year, the 12 seed in that tournament. And it's like, it's almost one of these like slap in the face things, like, oh, well, all right, well, we just got, now we have a chance, let's get back. It's like, all right, it shouldn't have been like that from the beginning. Well, it wasn't. Okay. Life isn't fair. Okay, we get it. It's a lot of this same rhetoric for me, not only in sports, cliche things with trying to get over tragic things like the loss of my mom, like missing my neighbors, like not having anybody or feeling like mental health and all that is a real thing that no one really even cares about. That's fine. I can appreciate all the cliche stuff and me trying to just fight on, that's cool. But in the end, it's been, all right, like, what are you going to do from here? Like, everything kind of does turn into a terrible spot. But, you know, I enjoy growing the game and I like being a golf professional as much as some days. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's going to be somewhere else. Maybe it's going to be something different. I don't know. I've been trying to figure all that out for myself. You know, what have you done to try and grow and stay moving on and be feeling better about yourself than what you could be in that little verb there? It's been the podcast, man. You know, as much as it sounds lame, as much as trying to get people to follow your and listen to your stuff is kind of tough, at the end of the day, I've gotten to a point where I'm going to keep trying to do that, but that doesn't matter to me. You know, what matters to me is the support that I do get, if I get some. Knowing that even if the people that I knew supported me and support me the most aren't here, they're proud of me where I'm at, and as much as it's hard to believe and people will say it and it doesn't make me feel any better, I know that's probably true. I just think of my grandma, my grandpa, my mom, my neighbor, a lot of my friends dealing with their own things, one of my other friends dealing with the loss of their dog, which I couldn't even fathom having to deal with that. It's just tough because everyone deals with it, all that loss, tragedy, in their own way. And some people deal with it different than others. Some people respect it more than others. Some people understand more than others. And I think that's the one thing that is tough, because I feel like no matter what I say, how intelligent I do it, where I'm at, what I'm doing, no one really understands how I'm feeling. Maybe they do in their own right, but it's been hard. Knowing that I won't be around a pod, but I'll be following the sports is tough because it just gets kind of backlogged. I got so much that I wish I could talk about, forget to talk about, want to talk about. Pods end up being longer. It's crazy to think that I've been doing this now for however long it is, and I used to come in and talk about this stuff and not even think about any of these other things, but now it's gotten to a point where I feel like it's a tribute to all them that have been there for me and gotten me to a point where I can still kind of do this, even though I'm struggling a bit, where I'm happy to come in here, give a little bit about myself and sports takes and sports and enjoying everything that that provides to me. I just hope that I can continue to feel that type of way. I know my boys come through as much as they can. I know sports will never phase out or burn out. I guess it's just trying to keep the other flames going in regards to everything else. And I'll continue to try and do that while enjoying sports. That's all I had for the airwaves today. Appreciate all listening as always. And as always, still have no shame what I had to say. Just a man with a nickname. Till next time, everybody. Peace and love. Stay safe out there. See you next time here on the Seggy Station.